Celluloid Heroes. Opinions you can trust.
How you doing? This is Ray Winstone, and you're listening to Celluloid Heroes. Crack on.
Hello and welcome to Celluloid Heroes. It's the 16th of February, and my name's Ed.
And my name is Jack Roderick Pelling.
Oh, that's nice.
You didn't know that, fans.
Roderick, no. Yeah. So Roderick, put that on your list.
Etc. etc.
And we've got a tiny little show for you today.
Yeah, well, relatively.
Yeah. Are we going to do Animal Kingdoms?
I think we'll chuck it in.
We'll do Animal Kingdom.
Which
is coming out in a couple of weeks, but we'll do it this week, along with the long-awaited Pool, which we've both seen.
We held off last week because Ed hadn't seen it,
and I really wanted to, and put my input. We got Yogi Bear, which was Jack's forfeit, and equally as bad, Romeo and Juliet. Oh, it could be good.
And it's also the biggest week now that we've had since we've been doing the forfeits.
Yeah.
This week is Friday sees the release of Big Mama 3.
Yeah.
And Martin Lawrence's completes the trilogy.
Yeah,
and
probably.
So the stakes are as high as they've ever been, if not higher.
To be honest, they really are. And apologies now if my voice is a bit claggy or cloggy.
Really?
I'm drinking a Yazoo.
Oh, yeah.
chocolate milk. Other chocolate milk.
I've pretty much overdosed on mini eggs.
Yeah, you're on mini eggs, so you're pretty cluggy as well.
I've eaten too many.
So we're chocolated up this week.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So if we're a bit hyper, then just send us to our rooms for a bit and we'll cool off.
Yeah.
Okay.
That should work.
Well, we'll start with the song. This is from Paul and it's by ELO and it's called All Over the World.
I got a message. Hi, this is Simon Pegg, and you're listening to Celluloid Heroes.
Okay, this is a pretty long-awaited film. It's been in our calendar for a long time.
For such a long time. It finished filming, I think, in the end of the summer of 2009, and it literally took a year for post-production due to the title character.
Yeah. Okay. Well, basically, if you don't know, Paul is the, writing debut of Simon Pegg and Nick Frost together, though it's usually Pegg and Edgar Wright.
Yeah, and a lot of people have got that wrong when they're promoting it. A lot of idiots on...
Yeah, it's because it's understandable.
It's sort of understandable, but get it right.
Do your research.
Yeah.
Or your research, if you're English.
Yeah.
My mum had a go at me the other day saying research.
Research.
So Simon Pegg and Nick Frost star with a host of American talent, such as Seth Rogen, Jason Bateman, Sigourney Weaver, although, we shouldn't say that, but to be honest,
I knew that before I saw it.
And then there's people like Bill Helder, Bill Hader, Jeffrey Tambor, Joe Leturio, loads and loads of these SNLs,
Kristen Wiig,
Judd Apatow people. So the basic story is that Pegg and Frost play some old friends who are kind of geeky called Clive and Graham.
Very geeky.
And they go on a road trip of America and they go to Comic-Con and then they go and visit Area 51. On the way to Area 51, there's a big car crash in front of them. They get out the car to investigate and out of the flames comes Paul.
Yeah.
We won't say what Paul is in case you haven't seen it. And so this is the problem.
No. He's an alien.
Yeah, okay, Paul is an alien. Yeah. It's obvious. He's obviously an alien. He's all over the posters.
Yeah.
But it would have been so much better if they'd kept it quiet.
Yeah, it would have been hard to keep it quiet.
But it would have been incredibly hard to do, especially with a sort of budget this high and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically that's the general story and then the shenanigans that he get up to and the sort of relationship that they forge and, one of them is a little bit jealous. So, and basically the idea is that Paul has been here for 60 years and actually he's more worldly and more sort of streetwise and in touch than either of them, even though he's an alien sort of thing, because he's been advising the government and, he's a pretty cool guy, basically.
He's a really cool guy, and the idea is that he wants to get home because he originally thought he was a guest amongst humans, but turned out he was a prisoner and he's trying to escape the people who captured him. Really?
Yeah. So basically, there's a lot like the ad campaign and the whole of this press trail leading up to it's been pretty rubbish because they were so badly advertised. I remember when I first saw the first trailer that came out, thinking, "Oh my goodness, what are this? It's all sort of fart jokes, really scatological humour, and just obviously cut together to try and attract the broadest audience possible, and this is the broadest and most universal film that they've made so far, definitely.
Yeah,
and for good or bad, we'll discuss. Mm. But one of the big things is when you see the film in the first sort of 5 minutes, or however long it is, that it's established that the person pulling the strings behind the people chasing them, these FBI agents, so on. Is sort of never seen on camera. You see a pair of high heels on a desk, blah blah blah. But obviously, it's Sigourney Weaver because she's in the trailer.
Yeah.
So that is just one gag that has just been completely ruined by the promotional stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a real shame. And I think they are quite annoyed about it. I've heard them talk about it.
She even went on the One Show.
Did she?
Yeah, talking about her new film, Paul.
Yeah. And so, Sigourney Weaver, that's sort of representative of the amount of, geeky references to alien films and things. But the first thing to say about this, it's not like a genre piece in the same way as Hot Fuzz is to action films or Shaun of the Dead. It's much, much broader.
Yeah,
The references go from sort of, it's things like Back to the Future, Indiana Jones, Doctor Who, and then, Lorenzo's Oil is a great gag in it.
It's touching the bone.
And so
gag.
I saw this at the premiere a couple of weeks ago. With a room full of its target audience, slap bang in the middle of the demographic.
Yeah.
So the whole place, laughing the whole house down. And it was free wine and it was, and I have to say, I laughed my head off the whole way through. I haven't laughed that much in the cinema for a long, long time.
That's great.
I really wanted to go and see it again on Monday before we recorded this show.
Yeah.
And there were two screenings in my local multiplex and both of them were sold out.
Which is great. Great for them.
So, maybe I looked at, I've been looking at this through slightly rose-tinted spectacles.
Yes.
But anyway, It's not as, you know, a lot of people have been comparing it to those two films, which I think a little bit unfair. I mean, it's directed by Greg Mottola,
which is a big difference,
who did,
straight up.
Exactly. Who did the like things like Superbad. So it's a lot more traditional style of directing. You know, Edgar Wright's very sort of frenetic and uses clever editing and sort of it's all about surprise. Like, and this, basically what this film is it's a love letter
to Spielberg. Steven Spielberg. They've mentioned that.
And so this is the way that, I mean, there are shots in it which are literally shot for shot
out
of things like Close Encounters and E.T. and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think Edgar Wright's style would have really worked with what they were trying to achieve.
No.
He
does the odd shot to shot.
A very different film.
Yeah, it would have. I was happy that he wasn't doing it. Not because I don't like, I love Edgar Wright. I was just seeing what they could do without him. Yeah. Great, and you're right. It is a broader approach, and I think that it's not. I'm not having to go against Greg Mottola, because I like him. I loved Adventureland, one of the loveliest films I've seen recent history. I really liked it, but you lack the edge, and especially with Pegg's writing. And look, I know Frost wrote it as well, but there's certain gags.
Oh, they're very, you know, there are some things that could be straight out of Space Door.
In fact, there was one which was just straight out of Space when you meet Kristen Wiig and she's talking about, she's only been to America, and says, oh, you're from England. And Simon Pegg's like, you should go. And she's like, oh, right, and walks off.
Yeah.
And it's like, you should go to England. Go, yeah. That is a complete reverse.
That's in Space.
It's a complete reverse. It's like when Brian gets an invitation to go to this art show in Simon Pegg's like, you should go. And it's like, oh, I'm not sure. It's like, no, you should go. Leave now at my house. But
the gag rate's more similar to things like Space. I mean, it's very, very sort of quick fire. And like, just there are problems with it. Although I found it, you know, really, really funny. But unfortunately, I can't really blame them on Greg Mottola. I think the script is structurally a bit, like, compromised. I mean, the first sort of 20 minutes of the film before Paul turns up, it sort of doesn't really know what it is. And it looks like they're sort of maybe playing things a little bit safe, not trying to, keep the attention of this new wide audience, at the same time as not upsetting, you know, the geeky people who put them where they are, and blah, blah, blah.
And that's a tough sort of hill to climb, that because of the money that's invested, and it's a big American film rather than a small string budget film where they can do whatever they like. They have to tick certain boxes and make certain people, not necessarily viewers, but certain people happy.
But luckily for the film and for them and for the audience, after, you know, 20, 25 minutes, Paul turns up. And Paul is the star of the show.
By absolute
and
miles.
And he's the best thing in it, and he's the funniest thing. You know, it's the straightest that we've seen them been playing, especially Nick Frost, who's sort of the, you know, obnoxious dunderhead sort of.
Well, this is what they wanted to do. They said, they made it very clear when they were writing it, that they wanted Nick Frost to be the straight guy, because Peg's always the straight guy. And make Pegg a bit more geeky. I mean, look, I'm being ultra critical, because I'm a big Simon Pegg fan. I would have loved it, actually, if he played more of his role as he didn't. Basically played Tim, you know.
Yeah.
Because Tim's still geeky. He's still an animator, what have you. But he's trying to play this sort of a different character. Yeah. And
you've got to have that in your mind though when you're writing something. That you've got to keep your distance with something. But you know, if the idea is good enough, perhaps when you're presenting it to a new audience, you can
It shouldn't mind. I mean, lots of great actors portray very similar characters in different films with different scenarios, and they're equally as good. Yeah. But hey, I'm not having a go.
Yeah. And Paul is really, really good. I mean, we were saying earlier that. It's definitely up there with the best CG live action interaction.
And I mean, also,
it's definitely worth the big delays and the huge amount of money they spent on it. Because if it hadn't worked, the whole thing would have been compromised,
terrible.
And there wouldn't be any point in doing it. But I mean, and Seth Rogen's voice work is really good. He's really,
really
funny.
Good. And I think Andy Serkis got a part to play with that, because
he did,
because of the stop motion.
We mentioned it last.
The motion catching. Yeah. Sorry, and it's very obvious, and that sort of swag. He has that very He's a great swagger,
yeah.
Paul. The
I
way
think
he
Joe Leturio also played
voiced
him on
him.
Set and stuff as well.
Yeah, he did voice the character, yeah.
And there's this sort of huge entourage of people that are following them to try and catch Paul. You have the sort of Men in Black agent played by Jason Bateman. Then you have the sort of like almost
the rookies.
Three Stooges-esque like FBI people with Bill Hader and Joe Leturio. One of whom is like really excited by the alien.
And
that, it's just too many things. And then there's other people chasing them that they crash into a motel, which is straight out of the Back to the Future.
Yeah.
And there's also this woman that they end up kidnapping due to a convoluted chain of events that, and their parents are chasing them as well.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's just, there's too much going on towards the last 20 minutes.
Those two hillbillies that chased them, that was sort of, that faded out. Really.
Yeah, but then it comes back at the end, like in the big climax, and you're like, well,
towards the big climax,
I pretty much forgot about you anyway. Yeah, I was just thinking
that,
a bit.
That was unfortunate.
Blythe Danner turns up, and she's great.
She's fantastic. I like her a lot, and she was great in it. To go back to the Men in Black, I didn't mind Bill Hader, and I didn't mind them actually. I thought they were all right, and it sort of helps Lorenzo Zoyles or Special Agent Zoyles' character. Kind of
just giving away one of the best jokes in the film there.
Yeah, yeah, but we mentioned it earlier.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, we mentioned that there's a reference to the film.
Slash disease.
Yeah, but there's a lot of good pun jokes like that. And, you know, it is
that's textbook.
It's real geeky stuff, you know, like the amount of alien jokes. And there are, you know, really obvious ones. And there's less obvious ones. You know, there's a Wilhelm scream in there. I don't know if you know.
I didn't pick that.
And then there's a fantastic cameo. What I'm talking about?
No,
well, I'm not going to give it away. But basically,
what part of the film?
The bit where Paul is in.
Room. Fantastic. Yeah.
In the room where something.
Yeah, no, that's a great.
Things are kept,
yeah, that's know? A great. That's a great cameo.
Yeah.
And a great.
So basically, you will find out where a certain director got the idea for a film that he made of similar subject matter.
Keeping going back to the script, I just love Peg's wordplay. I think that's what his absolute strength.
Yeah, and also it's timing as well.
Yeah.
But one problem is that because the gag rate is so high, and like they have a high percentage of successful gags, you overlook the holes in it. But because so many of the gags are surprise based and stuff, I don't know on rewatching it whether those holes will become a little bit more apparent and that it'll be a little bit harder to watch. I mean, it's a very short film. It's not long.
No. The other thing, I watched it with a normal audience. I watched it during the day, so it wasn't packed. I mean, it was still a surprising amount.
Lots of laughs?
Yeah, but not necessarily when I laugh, which is a sort of
really?
Nice
thing. Because that was the problem with me. When I saw it, obviously, you know, it was a huge room, Frost and Peg were there, everyone was laughing at everything. But there were things that I were laughing at that I was laughing so loud that I was like, oh, thank God I'm not in a normal cinema.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I would have been the only person laughing at that and they would have stuck out like a sore thumb.
That happened to me.
Because there
in
are
Romeo
so
and Juliet,
many gags and so many of them are so obscure that a lot of people wouldn't get them.
Exactly. And I actually started watching the film and just not looking for the references because you can get into that. Especially like a geeky kind of, let's see what references there are.
Yeah.
Don't look for
that's
them.
That's what I think one of my problems with, especially the second Kill Bill film, was it was just like sort of geeky movie references all joined together.
Yeah.
And when you're sort of looking for things more than actually following the story,
this is
you've got a problem there.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of them are so obvious that you can't miss them. You know, there's the obvious alien ones and Close Encounters, stuff like that.
Yeah, and there are a couple of Back to the Future ones.
But I think its problem will be that for some people in the broader audience, it'll be too nerdy. And for some nerdy people, it'll be too broad. So I think there's certain people that are going to be alienated by it. And I think I've read lots of mixed things about it, actually.
Yeah, I try not to read anything about it. But obviously, it's one of a bigger film like this, you can't hide.
Yeah,
the reviews can't hide you, but from you. But
at the end of the day, it's really, really funny.
It's entertaining,
and it's not up there with the first two of the Cornetto and
absolutely not. But it's not part of the trilogy.
But it's not part of that. It's a little side project, so don't take it too seriously.
No.
And you'll love it. It's a real
really romp. Enjoy.
It's
it.
Very funny.
Just go in there, enjoy it.
And we've got that to look forward to as well. That first film.
But Pool 2.
I don't know. Maybe. Thing is, though, you would have to have more than one alien to have a Paul 2.
Yeah.
It would be like them going to his homeland or something. And maybe it's best.
That would be a bit too dangerous. But, you know, the fact is, Paul is absolutely fantastic.
It'll be interesting to see how it does, actually. And one other interesting thing is, I think their approach to this, especially in like post-production and the way that they agreed to it being marketed, had a lot to do with seeing what happened to Scott Pilgrim.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Pilgrim was a huge budget film that basically no one went to see.
Mm.
And I think they learned quite a few lessons from Edgar Wright in that.
Well, yeah. I mean, everywhere you go, it's Paul, Paul, Paul.
Exactly. Okay, well, yeah, moving on quickly, shall we? Is that enough on that?
Yeah, I can't think there's...
Anything more to say?
No. Kristen Wiig, I quite like Kristen Wiig in it as well, and she's quite... You said she was a nothing character. Again, Kristen Wiig...
I just think she's a little bit crowbarred in there, because otherwise there's no women in the film.
Well, yeah, but it's also about the creationist
thing. Yeah. I think that's dealt with so like broadly and unoffensively.
Well, it's not that unoffensive.
I don't know.
In the trailer, I mean, obviously she's got... she's a creationist, and she meets an alien, so yeah. Put those
the whole
together.
Thing of what do you do when you have a very irrational belief system, which is contravened by one moment of seeing an alien, and then be like, everything I believe is rubbish.
Yeah, and the other good thing is, I was scaring myself that that she might have been the little girl in the first scene, but she wasn't. She was great. Yeah, she was great.
And one more thing to say about the trailers is it gave away a lot of gags.
Yeah.
And the thing about the way that these gags are written is they're all surprise gags, like I was saying. So, like, there's quite a long, like, convoluted lead up to the punchline. But the punchline, you've already seen it. Like, the bit when he eats the bird and stuff. And, like, that would have been so good because, yeah, it's not actually very funny in the trailer, but it's the build-up that makes it funny. So that was annoying.
That's true, and you sort of want to rattle through everything
you've seen in
the trailer.
If you haven't seen the full-length trailer, don't watch it before you can see it. Okay, right, well, moving on to another sort of live-action slash CGI romp, my forfeit for this week, which I'll go through quite quickly if I can, is Yogi Bear. So this is Dan Aykroyd and Justin Timberlake, and Anna Faris is in it, the most sort of ketamine-induced performance that I've ever seen. So it is directed by a guy called Eric Brevin, who did things like Journey to the Center of the Earth, the big 3D extravaganza with Brendan Fraser. And so, I mean, it's a really depressing 70 minutes. So basically, it reminds me a lot of Garfield, which people have talked about because, you know, it was Bill Murray, obviously, link there.
Yeah.
And this whole thing with, you know, an animated talking, you know, animal. And so, you know, it's one of those films where you think, oh, you're leading up to the moment when they first say picnic basket and, you know, smarter than the average bear and stuff. Yeah. But all of that is in the first minute.
Okay.
They get that straight out of the way.
Yeah.
Like, first scene, they're in a bush, like, oh, boo-boo, come on, there's a picnic bastard over there, sort of thing. And, the general story is, honestly, I could give you, if you watch the first 5 minutes of the film, you could predict the rest of the plot quicker than I could give you a synopsis.
Okay.
There are amoeba on Saturn that, like, could predict this film.
Okay, that's...
So basically, you know, Ranger Smith or whatever he's called,
and
they go around stealing picnic baskets. There's an evil mayor who the city's losing money, so he wants to sell off Jellystone Park.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, let's do a big, like, I can help, I'll do stuff, but, you know, he mucks it up because he's a buffoon.
Yeah.
And the score is incredibly annoying. It's got this, like, bouncy, bouncy sort of, you know, And it's just so bad. Like, it looks so awful. Like, the state of the animation is so bad for a film that costs $80 million.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul costs $50 million, and this costs $80 million.
Yeah.
And Paul looks, you know, immeasurably better.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so sloppy. And, like, Dan Aykroyd, in the... A lot of people have said this, but in the press release, he made a big deal, and in all the interviews he's done, where he says, like, you know, it would have been very easy to just put on the voice of the old cartoon, and the old cartoon, like, meant a lot to me, but I actually wanted to go back to, you know, what were those people like in, like, Lower East Side Manhattan during the 50s and really get into it. And it's like, no, mate, you're just doing the Yogi Yogi Bear. It's an impression.
Trying to pull like, all over our eyes.
Yeah, exactly. It's not highbrow stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, Justin Timberlake has obviously signed on because he can do a decent Bobo impression.
That is obviously Boo-boo, literally is. He probably did it. Yeah. Some after party.
Exactly. And some guy was like, you, Kirk, let's make a film out of this. And it's 3D.
Yeah.
And it's terrible 3D.
Yeah.
There's one little bit, which is a slow motion bit where a picnic basket explodes and sandwiches fly around in the air. Apart from that, absolutely nothing. And you just think, what's the point in these celebrity voices? And they've obviously paid them a lot because everyone else in the film is pretty dreadful and doesn't have anything to do apart from Anna Faris, who, as I said, exudes all the like personality of someone in a coma.
Yeah.
And the, well, just the screenplay is awful. I mean, it really is awful. And there's a Wilhelm scream in this as well.
Is there?
And Yogi Bear does it.
Oh, no.
So Yogi, if you know, I mean, I'll explain what Wilhelm scream is. I know most people know what it is. But it's basically a old stock, but of a very high-pitched scream, which I won't do an impression of because it will hurt your ears. And yeah, Yogi Bear has a very low voice, so that sounded pretty stupid. But, I mean, basically, it's so aggressively predictable that, it's so boring. That's the overwhelming emotion you can take away from
boredom.
This. 45 minutes in, I was so bored. Yeah. And I broke my no tweeting in the cinema rule for only the second time. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it was the first time. And I wrote down one of the jokes where someone goes like, I'm so bored. It's like they've probably been watching this. And they go, and someone's like, bored? How can you be bored? It's the 100th anniversary extravaganza of the park. And the guy goes, more like 100th anniversary lameganza.
Okay.
So that's pretty much it. And you know, it's just a water skiing break dancing CG bear. And
he break dances.
He does some. You know, there's about for the first 10 minutes, the nostalgia of the cartoon can sort of keep it bearable, but that wears off pretty much after 5 minutes, and it's just such charmless garbage. It really is. And it's certainly no walk in the park. It's unbearable, or it's certainly no picnic. You know, there's lots of them. But anyway, let's stop there. It's making me too depressed. Right, well, on the other side of this, we're probably going to be depressed again, it looks like. But for now, we'll play a song by The Clash, and this is from 24 Hour Party People. It's called Janie Jones.
Okay, that was The Clash of Janie Jones from 24 Hour Party People. It's my turn to complain.
Yeah, it's the third animated film of the day.
But this is fully animated, unlike Yogi Bear and Pooh. It's called Romeo and Juliet.
Okay. Pun in the title, alarm bells. Celluloid Heroes, rule number one, pun in the title, you're lost.
Yeah, you're dead.
Apart from Shaun of the Dead.
Apart from Shaun of the Dead, that's it, yeah, of course.
That's the exception that proves the rule.
Mm-hmm. Like I before E and the word receive. Romeo and Juliet, that's what I learned in English. Romeo and Juliet. Okay. So basically, I don't have to go through the synopsis.
It would be like giving the synopsis of Titanic.
Yeah, exactly. So, which is great, because I'm terrible at synopsi in general. So what I will do is go through the ridiculous cast from the top. So James McAvoy is Romeo and Emily Blunt's Juliet.
Is he doing an English accent?
Yeah. Ashley Jensen, Michael Caine, Matt Lucas, Maggie Smith, Jason Statham, Ozzy Osbourne, Hulk Hogan, Stephen Merchant, Julie Walters, Richard Wilson. When I say Richard Wilson, I'm Victor Meldrew.
Yeah.
He reprises his role. No, but as in he plays Victor Meldrew.
Right, okay.
Patrick Stewart.
Does he say, I don't believe it?
Almost, yeah. I mean, almost.
Patrick Stewart.
No surprises who he plays. And Dolly Parton. Who plays Gnome Dolly?
Well, it's definitely Elton pulling in favours, isn't it?
Yeah, this is it. Mm. It is Elton's. It's Elton's film from start
and
to
David
finish.
Furnish.
Yeah, but no, this is Elton pushing his weight around, phoning people up, telling them they're doing it, not asking them, saying you're going to be in my film. I'm going to use all my music, every song I love, your song. I'm going to write a new song. Look, I'm getting to muddy water here already. I knew I would because it's Elton John. He could probably kill me or ruin any career I want. But it is so pathetic how up himself he is. I mean, everything.
Is it a real vanity project?
It is the most vain thing I've ever seen in terms of Elton. Yeah. Ever.
And that's a considerable competition as well.
Yeah, just think. I mean, Matt Lucas is in it. But if it was an old kind of VH1 sort of old sketch show called Rock Profile, which was Matt Lucas and David Walliams impersonating rock stars, and Jamie Theakston was interviewing them. And some of them were good, some of them bad, but it was one fantastic one, which was when Matt Lucas plays Elton John. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like it's that character who's made this film. Yeah. Like he's the one ordering them around and say, I want more. I want this song. And I write this song.
I think the Bow Selector interpretation of Elton John's got to be my favourite.
Well, there we are. So put those two together. And they are the people behind this film.
Yeah. I've heard Michael Caine. It's almost like, you know, Michael Caine is one of the most caricaturey people in the world. But it seems even in this, he's doing an impression of himself.
It's sort of. I mean, he plays. To give it some synopsis, there's a semi-detached house. Yeah. One is owned by Richard Wilson or Victor Meldrew, and they're both these houses are gnome. They both have gnome fetishes or sort of garden fetishes, and his is red, and only got red gnomes in there, The big gnome is played by Michael Caine, who's Juliet's father, and he's red brick, okay? And on the other side, you have the blue house, blue gnomes and all that, and that's owned by Julie Walters, and the head gnome, obviously, they're all blue, so it's red, the reds and the blues, and the reds hate the blues, and the blue one is run by Gnome Blueberry, and that's Maggie Smith, and her son is Romeo.
So how far does the analogy stretch? I mean, do you have a Banquo? Not a Banquo.
You got Tybalt.
Okay.
And then
Tybalt.
Tybalt. And then you got other sort of
Mercutio.
It's called Mrs. Mercutio. Mm-hmm. Is Julie Walters and Richard Wilson's also got a character's name, but that's really where it stops because James McAvoy is Bezzy. And I'm not going to go through all the Romeo and Juliet characters. Yeah. I just met them up. But he's not called what he's called. He's called Benny. Okay? So it sort of stops there. But Jason Statham plays Tybalt.
Yeah.
So who wrote it? Apart from
Elton John.
Apart from Will Shakespeare, or Bill Shakespeare, who's in the credits. God rest us.
As Bill or William Shakespeare.
As William Shakespeare. 11 people wrote this.
Okay.
It goes, based on the original story by William Shakespeare, yeah. Based on the original screenplay by Robert Sprackling and John Smith. And they do...
Smith sounds like someone who doesn't want to be involved with the project. Yeah,
well, to be honest, I've abbreviated names because it's like John R.T. Smith and Robert N.Z. Sprackling, whatever. And they're the genii behind Mike Bassett, England manager. That's that's all they've written. Oh, and the miniseries.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of people did the screenplay. I'm not going to go through all their names. I'm going to go through some things. They did Chicken Run, Madagascar, Wallace and Gromit. But there are two names I will mention, Kevin Cecil and Andy Riley. And they have written or are part writers for a lot of British sketch shows.
Okay.
A lot of Little Britain, Armstrong and Miller, even that Amanda Iannucci series.
So yeah. Some good stuff.
Harry and Paul, all they are bog standard sketch writers, and you can tell that with some of the gags. And the other one of the other writers of the screenplay is the director called Kelly Asbury, who's from Texas, and so he directed Shrek 2, but his first film he directed was Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron, which is an animated film about horses. And Matt Damon was the lead voice in 2002. Wow. When I can safely say he was the poor man's Leonardo DiCaprio, but no longer. Okay, so you can understand this is very patchy, trying to gag after gag. And I'm telling you, there are three times as many references in Romeo and Juliet than there are in Pool. And I watched two films, and they've both been referenced to hell. But the guys behind Romeo and Juliet are going to hell, whereas the guys who wrote Pool don't believe in hell. But, But the thing is, the references, the films they reference in this have been referenced over and over again.
Yeah.
For instance, one simple idea is American Beauty with the petals.
Okay, so adult films.
Adult films.
So the
films.
Jokes kids won't get.
There were 12 children in the audience. Yeah. No one laughed.
Really?
I laughed a couple of times, sort of belly laughs as you do with these sort of one-line gags, but it doesn't stop a film from being bad.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a bit of Brit humour.
It's certainly nothing resembling a laugh in Yogi Bear.
No. Well, this is, but because it's British and you've got these comedian writers, you might get the off laugh, and it's, again, it's to the film. It grossed this week at the box office for £3 million it took in.
Yeah, it's number one.
It's number one, yeah.
So Elton's doing well there.
So yeah, and that's what 3D? Really annoys me. It isn't 3D. I mean, no point whatsoever. It actually hurt that there's a sprinkler in it.
Yeah. Okay.
And
they love that.
Need I say more? And as soon as the drops come out the screen, they go go fuzzy and blurry. Elton. If you just given got your bloody phone out, which you suggest you don't have. David has it, whatever. Phone Richard Curtis up and say, "Look, I got this film. Might not be good. Do it for comic relief." I mean, this is the sort of film.
A 15-minute short.
This people would have all these actors probably done almost done it for free. You could have done the film, put all proceeds to Romeo and Juliet. It's made $3 million. I mean, Paul Rose is a comic relief. It's made $3 million, but this is all going to Elton.
Is it new Elton songs, or is he using Crocodile Rock and stuff?
Crocodile Rock, Saturday, Your Song, a few more. But
what
I think
about
there's
Candle
one.
In the Wind?
There's one. No Candle in the Wind. But there's one. I think there's one love song which she wrote for the film. Patrick Stewart does play William Shakespeare, a busk of William Shakespeare. Well, not even a busk, a statue of William Shakespeare. Sure. Each, like both Michael Caine and Maggie Smith have their own minions, like in Despicable Me or Toy Story. So if any other animated film has these little minions, you just all like wee.
Merchandise.
Exactly. Which that drive me insane.
Can the humans who own the house interact with the gnomes?
No. Again, you've got the old Toy Story gag is freeze.
I think that's better because I forgot to say this about Yogi Bear, but the weirdest thing about Yogi Bear is that no one is bothered by the fact that there's a talking bear, and they are absolutely astounded when they find this. Basically, the loophole that lets them save the park is that there is an endangered species. I need to say endangered species. Yeah. There is a frog-faced turtle or something, and everyone is absolutely in awe of this frog-faced turtle and completely oblivious to the fact that there's
a talking bear
that water skis and break dances.
Yeah,
and that's the biggest problem with it.
There's a couple of characters in it which are really annoying. A flamingo played by Jim Cummings, who's a voiceover specialist, retire, and Ashley Jensen is actually quite annoying as this sort of frog who is a sprinkler, sort of a fountain. Frog fountain. They try and be sentimental about love. Obviously, the big question everyone would be asking is,
do they kill them?
Is it a tragedy? Well, it depends how broadly you're asking the question. To be honest, is the film a tragedy? Yes, it's a tragedy. None of the money is going to Naomi to Comet Relief. Is it a tragedy of the film? No, because Elton's like that ending. Of course, that's not the reason. Elton, I'm not going to really get a view. It's because it's a children's film.
I know, but do they make a gag out of it?
Oh, yeah.
Do they get to the end and they're about to kill themselves and you're like, let's all dance around in a big finale set piece.
Well, there's a bit of the... Oh, in fact, they do a curtain call at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a curtain call dance with songs, which Elton really probably pictured all the audience getting up and dancing to. But to be honest, most of the audience got up and left by that time. What was I going to say? So there's a moment where it's like, oh, are they dead? And then they're alive, and they're like, oh, I like this ending much better.
Okay.
One positive, if there is a positive to take, is James McAvoy does a great voiceover. I mean, look, he's done some big blockbusters.
He's
to make
putting
money.
On an English accent, not Scottish accent.
Yeah, English, like, I'm Nomeo, Nomeo. And he's like, I'm a geezer, I'm the alpha male.
I don't think
male.
I've ever seen him in a film with his normal accent.
No, it's a Scottish.
Mm. Apart from, he's got really heavy set Glaswegian.
King of Scotland. Is he anyone?
Yeah, that's true.
But,
yeah.
But I mean, even then, that's well, I don't.
But
know
it's still a lighter.
It's a light. Yeah, it's not a proper. It's not proper. It's not a rich Scottish.
Yeah. That's what was that?
Well,
I'm really sorry, everyone in Scotland.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's why I didn't go any further.
Yeah.
But no, he does a great voiceover. He does a great voiceover.
Okay. All right, then.
That's all you
can
take.
Is that anything else on there?
No.
Okay.
All right.
Well, what should we quickly do? Animal Kingdom?
Yes.
Okay. Animal Kingdom is an Australian film that sort of, that it hasn't really been publicised that much, but it's coming out next Friday, but it is available to see at preview screenings, so we thought we'd do it today. It's gained most of its sort of publicity through the fact that there is an Oscar nomination there for Best Supporting Actress, Jackie Weaver. Mm-hmm. And she, well, it's interesting because... For about half of the film, you're like, how did she get this? Maybe it's them trying to be sort of, politically correct and get rid of this, reputation they have for not liking anything foreign. But basically, it's marketed as starring Guy Pearce and Joe Edgerton.
Mm.
And Joe Edgerton is in it for 10 minutes, tops.
Yeah.
And Guy Pearce doesn't turn up for about 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's introducing this guy called James Frenchville, who basically plays a young teenage guy. He's about 17, and he's called Jay, and he lives with his uncle. The first scene is him sort of apparently sitting on a sofa with a lady watching Deal or No Deal, just normal day. Some lovely camera work sort of around the back. It's all very closed shots and stuff. It's
is
really
it
nicely
Noel
shot,
or
actually.
Australian Deal or No
Sorry?
Deal? Is it Noel Edmonds?
No, Australian one. So it's set in Melbourne, and then there's a knock at the door, the paramedics come in, and the woman next to him on the sofa is his mum, who's just died of a heroin overdose.
Right.
That's
a great opening scene.
It is exactly that. Took the words out of my mouth. And so he has to go and live with his grandma, who played by Jackie Weaver, and his three uncles, who are all, they are bank robbers.
Right.
And they're always in trouble. They're a very notorious family. And they're all these people that can sort of like turn on a sixpence. you know, really frightening, horrible people. Yeah. And the worst of which is Pope, who's the oldest of the brothers. And something happens that they go on a sort of revenge mission. He's sort of quite sucked in, but is also like on the fringe of that family because he's not directly related. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's a piece a little bit like Ned's was a couple of weeks ago. Like, how hard is it going to be for this guy to escape his unfortunate background or whatever? And he does this very sort of casual, like quite confident voiceover at the beginning, which is really, really great. And I have to say, he's wonderful all the way through. I think this is his first proper movie. And but he's basically playing a sort of like anti-character. And he's very sort of, you know, still and doesn't really have much to do. Like, it's not very outlandish. It's a very, very measured performance. And he only sort of emotes heavily once or twice during the film. And there are parts where you think, like, oh, come on, like, I'm struggling. I really want to care about this guy, but I'm struggling because he's just, he's, you know, he doesn't do much. It is, it's got a wonderful score by a guy called Anthony Partos, who's an Australian guy. And at times it can be a little bit over the top, but when it works, it's really, really great. And yeah, Ben Mendelsohn is the guy who plays Pope. Is
he's very good actor.
He's a really good actor, yeah. And he sort of reminds me a little bit of like Francis Begbie in Trainspotting.
Right.
That really horrible, the youngest of the three brothers, the uncles, is called Darren. And he's like quite a pretty boy and stuff. And there's this like altercation where he's like, oh, just if you're gay, mate, just tell me if you're gay, you know. Like, I won't think anything of it. And it's just, but it's like really weird and threatening. Like, he's really, really good. And so, and then he develops Jay develops a relationship with a girl, and, you know, she's sucked into this world, and, you know, I don't want to give too much away. And then Guy Pearce plays a policeman who's basically trying to help Jay to, you know, get out of this situation, to reject his family, something that's very, and he's basically playing Commissioner Gordon. He looks exactly like Commissioner Gordon. Jackie Weaver is, she's this sort of like really overprotective, like, oh, I don't know what I'd do there with my boys. Like, completely a bit like overlooks the fact that they're all like evil
gangsters,
but gangsters and stuff. But then there's a certain thing that happens where you think, oh, well, maybe that's where these people got it from.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's say the apple didn't fall far from the tree, perhaps.
And
it's really, really fantastic. I mean, it's a really solid, confident bit of work. And it's directed by a guy called David Meacod, who wrote and directed, it's his first feature. And I'm quite surprised it didn't get a best film nomination.
Yeah, because I was at work, I was telling people that earlier last year, it's like Animal Kingdom, look out for Animal Kingdom, I think it's going to get a lot of noms. Because it was released quite a long time ago in Australia.
I think it's been out for, definitely came out last year.
Yeah. So I was expecting high hopes and sort of, it didn't fade away because it's got this nom.
Yeah, I hope it'll do well when it comes out here. I hope it gets proper screening and stuff.
Yeah.
I think it probably should do. You'll never look at Melbourne in the same way again. Neighbours, this is not. Yeah. Yeah, and at the moment it's listed as being a 15 certificate, and that's what it said on the cinema when I saw it the other day. I can't imagine that it is.
Yeah.
But it is, apparently. I mean, it's got lots of bloody violence. The C word appears over 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see how it won't be put up, but maybe it won't. Anyway, highly recommended. Film of the week. I think it's got to be Animal Kingdom.
I can see that. Yeah. I think if I watched that.
So sorry, Paul. Paul, no, take nothing away from Paul. It's great fun, but this is a better film. All right, we'll have another song now, and then we'll do a bit of movie news, shall we?
Yeah.
Very exciting news that Radiohead are releasing their new album on Saturday. Exciting news if you like Radiohead.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd play a song which is from the film Night and Day, not the Tom Cruise one.
Not the pun.
No. And this is called Wolf at the Door.
Dragging out your window, dragging out the dead, singing a miss. You snakes and ladders, flip the lid. I pops the cracker, snaps you in the head, snaps you in the neck, kicks you in the teeth. Steel toe caps, takes all your credit cards, get up, get the gun. the eggs, get the flat in the face, the flat in the face, the flat in the face. Dance you fucker, don't you dare, don't you dare, don't you flat in the face. Take it with the love it's given, take it with a pinch of salt, take it to the tax man. Let me back, I promise to be good. Don't look in the mirror at the face you don't recognize. Help me call a doctor, put me inside, put me inside, put me inside, put me inside, put me inside. I keep the world from the door. It calls me on the phone, tells me all the ways that he's gonna mess me up. Steal all my children if I don't pay a ransom. But I'll never see him again if I squeal to the cops.
Film. Okay, so movie news. So, what have we got on offer?
Well, yeah, some exciting stuff. A bit of a slow week, you know. We're definitely well into the post award season hangover now.
Yeah.
So, you know, things are going to dry up a little bit. Quite a lot of superhero news. We got titles for The Amazing Spider-Man. It's now
being
titled.
Yeah.
And so this is, yeah, it's being shot. They've released the first pictures of him in the full suit and stuff. And he looks good. I mean, he's in filming at the moment, and he doesn't look like in, you know, big shape.
Yeah.
Maybe they're filming Peter Parker bits now. I don't know.
I don't know.
But, you know, he's definitely not as hench as Tobey Maguire was. No. Another film that's got a title is Sherlock 2. It's called Sherlock, A Game of Shadows.
Is that a Doyle book?
No. Not to the best of my knowledge, certainly not one that I've read. This is just finished shooting, I think.
Yeah.
Guy Ritchie, unfortunately, is having his house full of squatters at the moment. Have you seen this?
No.
Guy Ritchie's house in Fitzroy Square has been overtaken by squatters because he's been away for so long that they've now got squatters' rights. And they've turned it into a free school.
Have they?
Yeah, and so he's struggling to get them out.
Okay.
So I don't know where he's living in London. Batman news. Chris Nolan talked a little bit about Batman when he was on the red carpet. We've got put the interview with him up on the website, which is, you know, your place to stop for movie news and stuff.
Sure.
And they're starting shooting in about 10 weeks, which is exciting. And apart from that, you know, we've talked about Anne Hathaway, haven't we?
Talks about Anne Hathaway, yeah. Talks about Tom Hardy,
yeah.
Who
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and Marianne Cotillard.
Yeah. They just want to. Once you've worked with Christopher Nolan, you work with him again.
It's almost a shame that this is going to be the last one, really, isn't it?
Mm. Simply because of other characters and people who could be in it.
Yeah. 21 Jump Street They don't care.
What is this?
Really? Well, it was like an 80s TV cop show that's being made into a film. I think it's what made Johnny Depp famous.
Oh, is this a series?
Yeah. And so this is, well, what a surprise. Channing Tatum is in it.
Yeah.
He's
what
in
a surprise.
Absolutely bloody everything at the moment. And Ice Cube, I think, is in it as well.
Right.
New trailer for Captain America. Mm-hmm. Chris Evans playing his second superhero, which is not an opportunity many people get. No. I don't know if British people are going to quite buy into Captain America. I mean, there was a film of it in the 80s.
Yeah.
But it's just too jingoistic and, you know,
I don't want to see America. Yeah, oh, I don't want to see it.
It is part of the Avengers, so perhaps. And so, yeah, we've got Thor, lots and lots and lots of superhero movies coming out. Another trailer is Arthur, which has come out. Russell Brand's reincarnation of Dudley Moore's probably most famous cinematic role.
Yeah.
And, Helen Mirren is now the butler.
Yeah.
Which looks all right. I don't know. I think it looks okay. You think it looks pretty good?
I don't know. I'm intrigued if Russell Brand can pull off 90 minutes of unadulterated fun for the family.
Speaking of Russell Brand,
Hop the full trailer out.
It actually looks all right, I think. After having to sit through Yogi Bear and Romeo and Juliet.
Look, Alvin and Chipmunks.
Hop is the guy from Alvin and Chipmunks. Oh, really?
And
but it seemed, a little bit.
They've got two, the Squeakquel and Alvin, and they've been very successful, so they must be hitting some right notes. But essentially, you could have put it like Elf, but with the Easter Bunny.
Yeah, really. Sure. You like Elf, don't you?
Yeah, I love Elf. Yeah. But that's also the same concept. Father Christmas is, well, the fact that the Easter Bunny's son, the Easter Bunny played by Hugh Laurie, his son, Russell Brand, has got to kind of grow up
and
learn how to deliver Easter eggs around the world and stuff like that. He likes playing the drums.
He does, yeah.
And he bumps into Cyclops.
Our trailer of the week is up on the website.
Yeah,
if you go to celluloidheroesradio.com/trailers. Submarine, which is the debut feature from Richard Ayoade, who is most famous for his role as Moss in The It Crowd, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he's in Time Trumpet. He was my favourite in Time Trumpet.
Was he?
Him and Stuart Lee were the best.
Yeah, okay. Tim Key was obviously my favourite.
Yeah, okay. This looks really good. Have a look at the trailer. It looks interesting, doesn't it?
Lots of hype about it in the media. Yeah.
Okay, so that looks good. What else have we got? Xerxes, which is the sequel to 300. I think it's a prequel.
Okay, well,
so
look.
I'm going to be avoiding that.
Yeah, you will, but I will as well. But people who love 300 will no doubt like that.
Yeah, and then the last thing is Trust.
Trust. David Schwimmer is back in the chair after a few years from Run, Fat Boy, Run.
What was the other one he did with Simon Pegg that flopped?
They were acting together in it.
Oh, he didn't direct that.
It's called Big Nothing.
Yeah.
He didn't direct. So
Catfish, the live-action...
Catfish, version. The fictional story of...
Who can you trust on the internet?
Yeah. Who can you trust on the internet?
We were just saying earlier, it's amazing that this year so many films about the internet are coming out.
Yeah.
And surely you would have thought people would be there a little bit quicker. Because most sort of things, films in the past that have come out about the internet have been, like cyber terrorism, things like Die Hard 4.0 and like The Firewall with Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
No one's actually made one about, people using the internet until very recently.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it looks interesting. It's
got Clive Owen.
Yeah,
and I've got a
and Clive Owen is a bit of a stink machine, a stink magnet.
He can be, but then some of his films, like Children of Men, some people love.
Yeah.
And
he hasn't made anything good for a while.
No.
Well, he hasn't made anything. He did that one where he was the, the single parent.
Oh, well, look, I got to disagree with you. I know you don't like it, but I love Inside Man.
Oh, it's not awful.
I really like that film.
Yeah.
And I like Closer. And I just like him. I like his... I don't know. I just like his style. I like his style. I'm just a normal guy.
I just hope he never goes anywhere near Bond.
Yeah, please don't. Yeah. Be a bad guy. Oh, yeah. Be a villain. Don't
yeah, mind. Yeah. Fair enough.
Please be a villain.
Okay. Right. Well, should we do the Stinker and Stonker?
Competition.
Or competition.
And then Stinker and Stonker.
Okay. Okay, competition time. The scratch card challenge.
Rollover.
The rollover as well. So you could win £200,000 here, whoever the lucky winner is.
If you win the first one, we're not going to give you a second chance.
Well,
I mean, it's a rollover, but...
Yeah.
If the first one's a winner...
I think that's a bit unfair.
Yeah, well, you know, they're not paying for these.
Fair enough. Okay, right, well, let's play the clip that so many of you got right.
You know, contrary to what you might think about us, we fought with the blacks, huh? Yeah, side by side. There was no apartheid in a foxhole. The colonel always used to tell us that.
No apartheid in Vauxhall.
The people who thought Matt Damon...
No apartheid in Vauxhall.
Yeah. You guys who think it was Matt Damon think that was Francis Pienaar talking to Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
I mean, a bit of status.
As Ed was saying, lots and lots of people said Matt Damon in a bit.
Yeah, look here, Morgan. Look here, Nelson.
And then other people pointed out that this was actually a Rhodesian accent, not a South African one. So, But I have to say also it is pretty good, but in this particular clip it falls down a little bit. And you answered in your droves, those of you that got it right.
Thank you
too
for that.
Many to sort of do it properly in our normal hat, so I'll just pour them out and you can pick one.
I've got one.
Okay. And it is...
Oh, it's Maggie Kruger from London. Who is...
She gets it every week, and I don't think she's won yet, so well done, Mags.
Yeah.
Right, let's see what you have won. Exciting time.
Okay, well, let me just get my...
Oh, dear, this is bad preparation.
My purse out.
Fire your PA.
2P.
Okay.
Here we go.
Right.
Scratch card number one.
Come on. Don't need to remind you that no one's won for what seems like years.
£5,000.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
£1,000.
Okay. You've got six more goes to get £5,000.
£5.
Okay. That's good. That's not...
£15.
Oh, dear. It's all going a bit
£10.
Downhill. This is awful.
£100,000.
Yeah, it's not looking
£15,
good.
£10. Nothing.
Okay, nothing. But luckily for you, Mags, it's
rollover
week.
Rollover week.
Yeah, okay, so you've got another chance now. Come on!
Okay. 50 right. quid.
Right.
£1,000.
Oh, what? No,
50 quid.
This is awful.
£5,000. 100 quid.
Oh, dear.
15 quid.
It's another nothing.
£100,000. 25 quid. £5,000. Oh, I thought that last one was 50 quid, Maggie. You've won nothing.
Oh, sorry, Mags. Sorry, everyone. I mean, it's just ridiculous, the luck that we have. What's that now? Nine in a row where no one's won?
Something like that.
Okay. Well, we're sorry, but, in some sort of weird mathematical way that may not make any sense, it gives you a better chance of winning next week, possibly.
Maybe.
Okay. And a lot of people complained that it was very easy this week, and to be fair, it was. So we've pulled out a bit of a hard one this week. So see if you can guess it.
Wrap your lips round this one.
You must be kicking yourself for not walking out when you could. But don't you worry, son. It will all be over soon.
Okay, sounds like Roman Abramovich on Valium. I'm not sure what that is supposed to be.
So yeah, Roman Abramovich.
All I know is that it's well worthy of being in this competition.
Yeah,
he's not a very... Usually when he's in films where he has to put on an accent, he just doesn't try.
Yeah.
But he's definitely trying something odd in this one. Okay, right, we'll play another song now and then we'll do the DVD reviews and our fate will be revealed.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we will listen to a song by The Police. And this is from a film that we...
Both
managed
skipped.
To avoid this
yeah.
week. But I don't know. It may well have been worse than even those two stinkers. And the whole soundtrack's by The Police, so that's probably the best thing in it if you like The Police. And it's from, what's it called again? Just Go With It.
Just Go With It.
So this is The Police with Can't Stand Losing You.
I can't
Okay, that was Sting and the Police. Or just the Police, if you prefer. I certainly prefer without Sting.
Let's call it the
as
Police.
We were saying as the song played. It's a shame that he is such a...
Yeah, you know. I don't. We can't be bothered to edit any bleeping in.
No,
he's
no,
an
no.
Absolute. So, and the other, actually, if you go on that sort of thing, as much as I love the guy,
mm-hmm.
I'd preferred it was just called The Wings.
Really?
Yeah.
What? Not Paul McCartney and
no,
Wings.
It's like, who's in The Wings? Paul yeah. McCartney.
Because I would have liked it to be called Ringo and the Beatles. yeah. Right, anyway, let's do the DVD top 10. So the big is taken, still in there.
Yeah, well, we'll go from 10 to 1 this week. Because
okay,
last
right.
week we went from 1 to 10, which is like...
Yeah, it's a bit silly, wasn't yeah. it? Okay, number 10, I Spit on Your Grave.
Never heard of it. It's new. What the hell is that?
It was out. It briefly flickered in and out of the cinema, but, well, we didn't review it. It got overlooked. Number 9, 94th week in the charts.
It's taken.
Okay.
Unreal.
Unbelievable. Still there. Number 8 is The Karate Kid.
Yeah.
You thought that was all right, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I thought it was perfectly fine, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number 7, 76 weeks in the chart.
Yes. Yeah,
Marley and Me, absolute tosh, the dog dies.
Yeah.
The Town down from number 1 at 6. Well, that's gone up pretty
yeah.
fast.
Yeah.
That's a real supermarket one as well. It's all the tills and Tesco's and stuff. The Town's good. Yeah, it's all right.
You like The Town?
Yeah, I liked it, but
impressed with Affleck's directing abilities.
It was, but then actually, you know, watching Animal Kingdom reminded me just of how much better it is than The Town.
Yeah, okay.
Number 5, Iron Man 2. You know, standard trashy
yeah.
romp.
Yeah.
Like summer blockbuster, not as good as the first one. Mm-hmm. 4, new entry, Charlie St. Cloud, which I had to go and see as a forfeit a few months
yes,
ago.
Yes, that made me Zac laugh
Efron,
when I saw that.
His brother dies and then he goes sailing. It's rubbish.
But then he sees his brother, it's fine.
Yeah.
He sees his brother. He didn't see everyone.
Reason,
just his,
yeah, it's like
just his brother, isn't it?
Sixth Sense, like, crossed with sort of Glee. Number 3. This is a strange one. Bambi.
Well, it's obviously a
new entry. It's obviously
new
only just
of,
come out on Blu-ray or
yeah,
DVD
something
or something.
Like that.
Special edition.
It's amazing how that this goes straight in number 3, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Number 2, Valentine's Day.
Self-explanatory, really.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be out pretty soon.
Yeah.
And number 1, a new entry. Eat,
Ooh.
Pray, Love. Ugh.
Didn't Jonathan Ross make a gag about that at the
yeah,
Baptist,
so.
If it was a man?
Basically, so. If you don't know what this is, it's the most self-indulgent, horrible thing ever about a woman who goes finding herself by going to like really touristy places and being like, whoa, man,
Bali.
Isn't India,
India
weird and full
yeah.
of Indians? Yeah, weird that, isn't it? Thanks
yeah.
a lot. So avoid that like the plague.
Yeah,
right,
shame.
It's time for the Stinkers and Stonkers.
I'm a stonker. Or in the stinker.
Mr. Stinker.
Okay, so this is the part of the show where we go through the week in film
yeah.
on television.
The week films and the maybe more Mark Strong films.
Yeah, the week films and yeah, the what
week
did
films
say?
Of the week.
Yeah, the week films of the week and the Mark Strong films of the week.
Yeah.
What do you want to start with? Do you want to start with?
Well, what did we do last week? Let's do the opposite. Let's start with the Stonkers.
I will start with the Stonkers this week, okay? And we're doing today because this will be out, especially before the,
sure,
this film's on. But we've got one film on Wednesday, Royal Tenenbaums.
Okay.
On,
that's going to take some beating.
On BBC One, Prime, perfect, no adverts, 11:30, bit late, record it.
Yeah.
Thursday, one on Thursday, Elizabeth.
Okay.
9 o'clock on Film 4. On Friday at 9 o'clock on More 4, East is East.
Ah, okay.
And just to say, West has come out soon.
Yeah, we'll
and
have
looks,
a review
looks,
for that next week.
Doesn't look great.
Yeah.
Friday at 9 o'clock on Film 4 is Alien.
Ooh.
Friday on ITV2 at 10 o'clock is Batman Begins.
Okay.
Then on the Saturday on Channel 4 at 7 o'clock is X-Men. And Sunday at 10 o'clock on BBC Two is The Prestige.
Okay.
Also on Sunday and Channel 4 at 10 to midnight is As Good As It Gets.
Mm-hmm.
On Monday at 10:05 on ITV4 is Clockwork Orange.
Oh, that doesn't get much telly play.
No, it doesn't, no. On Tuesday, this is one of my... I like this film, maybe... could disagree, but it's, I think it's good. On 10:30 on Tuesday on ITV2 is Out of Sight.
Okay.
Steven Soderbergh.
Yeah, it's good.
Film. And the other film on Tuesday, 11:20 on BBC One. BBC One are throwing out a few. BBC are throwing out good films this week.
I know.
It's 25th Hour.
Okay. All right, well, there's lots of good stuff there.
And before I go any further, actually, film four are going through all the aliens.
Okay.
But I think Alien, really, is the only one that deserves being there. I mean,
what? No way! Definitely the first three.
Yeah, but I was just like, what's the point of putting them all in?
Oh, what you mean in terms of this?
In the stump, yeah.
All right, well, I'll be tempted to say Royal Tenenbaums, but because it's on today, you know, obviously Alien is the best there, but, you know, everyone's seen Alien. The Prestige is very good. East is great if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I think The Prestige is one of those films that a lot of people might have just gone under the radar.
The first time I saw it as well, I didn't really like it.
Yeah.
And then I watched it again recently and I much preferred it. I don't know why. Maybe I wasn't in the right mood. David Bowie has got a very odd accent in it.
Yeah, but yeah.
So don't be surprised.
You're not seeing it for Bowie, though. Are you?
Oh, well, I am. I was when I first watched
really?
It. Clockwork Orange, you know, obviously a classic. It does sort of polarise people. I think some people don't really get it.
Yeah.
But I really like it. As good as it gets, good, but it's not, you know, it shouldn't be there. So what am I going to say then? It's a tough one.
I say Out of Sight has got one of the funniest moments in cinematic history in my book.
What's that? With Steve Zahn?
When George Clooney's at the top of the stairs, he's been caught red-handed, and the guy at the bottom of the stairs, big fat guy, runs up to stop him. Things go horribly wrong.
I can't remember what happens. What happens?
You want to know?
Yeah, I saw it quite recently. I can't remember.
So then it's towards the end. They're trying to escape from the house, and at the top of the stairs, and there's a big fat guy with a goatee at the bottom of the stairs with a pistol. Mm-hmm. Says, "Free, stay there." And you think, "How the hell are we going to get this one?" The guy starts walking up the stairs, trips up, and shoots himself in the head.
Oh yeah, I remember.
Hysterical. Okay.
All right, then. Well, I've been gabbling on. I'll go Alien then.
Okay, fair enough. Stinkers.
Can't not really.
No, you can't. I mean, it's a tough one. Is it a Royal Tenenbaums?
Yeah, I know someone who would be very annoyed if I didn't.
Ridley Scott?
No. Someone probably more fanatical about the Alien films than that.
Okay.
Anyway,
Stinkers on Wednesday evening, 8:00, Fiverr. Hope this show. Hope it does get out so you can miss it. It's Envy, Ben Stiller and Jack Black. Fool's Gold is on Thursday at 6:50 on Film 4.
Oh, and that has got a great accent in it.
Has it?
Yeah, one of the best.
Bridget Jones' Edge of Reason is on Thursday at 10:45 on ITV2.
Yeah.
We touched on it last week. Three to Tango is on Fiverr on Saturday at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Nick Cage's... famed Ghost Rider.
Oh, brilliant.
It's 9 o'clock on Channel 5 on Sunday. Also on Sunday on ITV2, which generally over the weeks brings out the best and the worst in these films, in this Stinker Stonker, is Troy at 10:30. Sunday at 9 o'clock on E4 is Sean William Scott's well-known performance in Bulletproof Monk. On Monday, on Channel 5, at 10 o'clock, is one of the films I saw at university. You know, sometimes you go as a gang, and it's more of an outing. And you're trying to make friends, but you realise you don't like any of them, especially when you realise you're going to see The Exorcism of Emily Rose, which is dire.
Yeah.
Poor Tom Wilkinson. Oh, so Danny Dyer.
Yeah.
Or Mark Strong. There we are. And finally, Monday, 11:15, ITV2, American Dreams.
Okay. American Dreams is horrible.
Yeah.
Fool's Gold is just the biggest. It's such a mess. Have you seen it?
I haven't. It's Matthew McConaughey.
Absolute car crash. Yeah. And Ray Winston.
Is he in it?
And Ray Winston's accent is unbelievable. I mean, maybe one day we'll dig it out. I'm going to say Ghost Rider, though.
Yeah, have you seen that?
And there's another one coming out.
Drive. I think that's coming out quite soon.
What is it about Nick Cage?
I know, but I've actually looked at the trailer and I think Drive could be a bit tongue-in-cheek and not as bad
like
as you
Crank.
Think. I don't know, a bit. It looks very sort of B-movie-esque.
Yeah.
Sure. A bit like Machete or any of those. Kind of Grindhouse.
I'm sure it's not. Yeah.
It's trying to look Grindhouse, but we'll see.
Okay.
Well, one of us will have to see it.
Yeah,
we'll see.
All right, well, talking of things we have to see after this song, we're going to be finding out who's going to go and see Big Mama's House 3, whatever it's called.
Oh.
I'm not losing four in a row, especially not this week. Okay, right, we'll play a song. This is by Ringo and the Beatles, and it's called She Came In Through the Bathroom Window. Okay, that was the Beatles with She Came In Through the Bathroom Window. Mm. Right, now this is the tensest one that we've ever had because it's a very quiet week next week. There's not a lot out. And the big release is Big Mama, Like Father, Like Son.
Big Mama's House 3.
Yeah, so yeah. Well, I can't remember what the second one was called.
Big Mama's House 3.
And so, I mean, I'm finding Still it hard big. To find anything to joke about because this is just pure dread. Seizing through my body. I mean, it's like you've told me I'm just about to be shipped off to Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And especially because I've lost three in a row. I really think I don't deserve to lose this.
You don't. You
really but we'll do. See what happens. The phone is ringing. There's nothing we can
Hello.
Do about it now. Hi, Quizmaster. How are you doing?
Hello. Very well. Good afternoon.
I hope you've picked a good one because this is definitely the worst, most nerve-wracking thing I've ever had to do. Are you aware of Big Mama's House 3, Like Father, Like Son?
I didn't appreciate the reference to the third one.
Good. Okay. Well, question, please.
Well, on the line of sequels,
yep.
King Kong is the only movie to have its sequel, Son of Kong, released in the same year as the original.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to know is what year King Kong and Son of Kong were released.
Okay. All right then, my answer's down. We've got 30 seconds and it starts now.
What film, the original?
No, what year that King Kong and Son of Kong came out. It's the only film to ever have its sequel released.
Yeah, so the original King Kong.
Yes, so basically, yeah. Okay, do you want to say what you've written?
I think I've gone too high.
What have you gone?
I've gone 1938.
Okay, I wrote 37. I'm sure it's 37. I don't know why I changed it. I changed it to 33.
I think it is 33.
Just something right. Something was didn't sit right. Because
what's your answer, Jack?
My answer is 1933.
The correct answer is 1933.
No! Yes, I knew it. I had something in there.
Yeah,
and that's the first time we've ever got one spot on.
Yeah, so well done.
Thanks very much, Quizmaster.
You really pulled it out like Wayne Rooney did.
Exactly.
It's Manchester
Speak
United.
To you next week. Cheers. Good question. Great
Bye.
Question.
Bye-bye.
Oh, dearie me. You cannot tell you. I can't. Oh. The relief seething through my bones is just immeasurable.
Yeah.
So how does it feel, mate, to know that you're going to be seeing Big Mama 3 in, you know, in the next week or so?
I'm not happy.
I want a full comprehensive review.
I watched Big Mamas 2, so I know what's going on.
Did you?
No, I watched
it. Oh, you will watch it. Yeah. Okay.
I have watched Big Mama's House.
I have, what, the whole thing?
Yeah.
You're mad.
Well, I was unemployed.
Fair enough. You do strange things when you're unemployed.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Well, that is all we got time for on a slightly truncated show this week.
Yeah, and unfortunately, there's not much on next week.
No, so we might have to come up. We might have to jiggle around with the format. We'll have a few ideas. We've got an evening in the pub on Friday night, so perhaps we'll discuss it then.
We'll discuss then. Obviously, I've got to see Big Mama's House 3, like father, like son. You never know. With new Martin Lawrence protege on the horizon.
Could be an early Oscar winner for 2012.
Yeah, it's a shame how these films get forgotten so early after the nominations.
All right, then, brilliant. Well, thank you very much for listening, as always. And you can always visit the website for... Yeah. We'll have a new trailer of the week.
There'll be a feature out sometime soon. Probably from Jack, but I'm still yet to write one. But I've got a few up my sleeve.
And, of course, if you want to hear that clip again, should we play the accent clip one more time?
Yeah, why not?
You must be kicking yourself for not walking out when you could. But don't you worry, son. It will all be over soon.
Okay, that is odd, isn't it?
Roman Abramovich talking to Carlo Ancelotti about leaving after his double.
Yeah, after a long night, maybe. okay, well, we'll play you out with a song from the film called 24/7. Have you seen that? Early Shane Meadows?
No. Oh, no, I haven't. Which one I saw?
Dead Man's Shoes?
No. I loved that.
Before that?
Yeah, Room for Romeo Brass.
With Bob Hoskins.
Bob Hoskins. Yeah.
Funnily enough, I went through Who Framed Roger Rabbit? To try and find an accent quiz.
Yeah.
And his accent is spotless.
Well, in Who Framed Roger
Rabbit?
Yeah,
it's really, really good. Yeah. I think it must be in Mario that it's really, really bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Because someone tweeted and says, I'm sure it's really bad.
Yeah, he's doing them all.
But he is doing like a Brooklyn accent. It's the same accent. Anyway, we digress. Thank you very much for listening, as always. And we'll see you next week. We played Jeff Buckley last week. So why not listen to a bit of his dad this week? This is from, as I said, 24/7. Tim Buckley, and it's called Look at the Fool. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Each and every day, every little way, I've been in love.
love me.
Look at the fool and
love me.
Latest movie news, for previous reviews, or to get in contact with the show, visit celluloidheroesradio.com.